You know, we have talked a lot about this new book, Shattered, Inside Hillary Clinton's Doom Campaign. Yeah. This is just a blockbuster book, and we have been talking about it a lot. And I cannot tell you how excited I am that Amy Parnes, one of the co-authors of this book, is here with us. Now, Amy is also a senior White House correspondent for The Hill as well. Amy, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this morning.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
I like I said, I'm so excited about this book. I cannot wait to get my hands on it to read this book. There is so much that you have revealed in this book about what happened behind the scenes of the Hillary Clinton campaign, because we only saw, obviously, the public face of it. I want to ask you, what was the most shocking thing that you found out in doing this research?
You know, it was funny. I felt like I learned that there was really a couple of things. There was no real message, and that people inside the campaign, some of them felt like there was really no message, that there was no kind of core center of gravity that she was pushing. And also the fact that there was not only infighting, but there were shifts. Some people were demoted quietly. There was the creation of kind of a board of advisors called the Super Six that no one really knew about. So they tried to they overlearned what happened in 2008 and swept things under the rug and kept things looking good above surface. But there were problems below.
One of the things that I picked up on back during the campaign, I kept hearing these stories indirectly about the people on the ground for the Clintons in Pennsylvania were sending up flares back to campaign headquarters saying, it's not going as well as you think it is. And a lot of times the word that they got back apparently was, our polls look good there. Don't worry. Everything's fine. You don't know what you're talking about. We know better. And it would seem to me that this sort of sense of arrogance is something that you picked up in your research about this, that at headquarters, they seemed to always know better than the folks that were on the ground.
Mm-hmm. And it was happening everywhere in Colorado and states like Michigan. You had Congresswoman Debbie Dingell kind of sounding the alarm repeatedly saying, we don't have what we need here. There was someone in Colorado on the ground who was kind of leading the effort there who was basically saying the same thing. Why aren't you? She kept saying, I feel like I'm being sent into war without armor. So I think, at all these different areas, if you add them all together, it kind of makes sense what was happening. They felt like, they weren't on the airwaves, that they weren't doing as much as they could. People weren't even getting lawn signs. That was a problem. It was just a very, I think Robbie Mook tried to keep things. He was very frugal, a lot of people said, and, didn't want to spend a lot of resources on various things, and that was problematic as well.
One of the things that came out of your book recently was this whole Russia narrative. You're claiming that this can be traced back to the Clinton campaign. This is where this whole "I lost because of Russia" narrative has come from.
Right. I think that, obviously it's a factor in the campaign, but you had a day like October 7th where they had the Podesta emails came out. They were the campaign was focused on Russia's involvement. You also had the Access Hollywood tape. But I think they obviously took it seriously and they were trying to make that case. But then they also kind of pivoted. You'll remember after one of the debates, they focused on Alicia Machado, the woman that they accused Donald Trump of calling Miss Piggy, instead of kind of making an issue of it. So I think, this was all there before the campaign ended. And so the fact that they didn't really make that case properly, I think also is, that the blame lays with them as well.
There were some infighting between the Bill people and the Hillary people behind the scenes?
There were. I think that Bill Clinton and his advisors felt like he wasn't being utilized in a correct way. He kept feeling like he was on the ground. He was hearing something completely different. He said the feel of the ground was on the ground was much more different than what was being reported back in Brooklyn. And so there was a bit of a push-pull there. Robbie Mook, also relying on analytics once again, said, no, we'd rather have you travel to X, Y, and Z places. He really wanted to go to different places because he felt like he could be more useful there. So there was, there was a whole kind of internal disagreement about where to best use him. And I think When you talk to people now, they think that that was obviously a problem as well.
And the other thing that I keep getting a sense of is at the end, they sensed a victory, and they wanted not just a victory, but they wanted a landslide. And that they sort of reshaped their campaign toward the end in order to get a big popular vote turnout. And in fact, they should have been looking more closely at the Electoral College math.
Oh, yeah. And in states like Michigan and Wisconsin, she was supposed to appear there one time with President Obama in Wisconsin, a state that she now in retrospect could have used. That event was canceled, and they went to North Carolina instead. And there was a huge effort in the end to put states in play like Utah and Georgia. And you know, that didn't really amount to anything in the end. They should have. There's a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking where they should have obviously spent more resources in states like Michigan and locking down. You know, someone complained to us recently that why they were in Atlanta when they should have really been there. And when they saw Donald Trump going to a state like Wisconsin, that should have been a warning sign to them as well.
Very quick final question: do they get it now?
That's a very interesting question, because I think if you listen to what Secretary Clinton has said recently, she still is kind of blaming Russia and Comey, and obviously those are factors. When you have, 70-something-some-odd votes, 70,000, plus or minus, I think that everything counts there. And so I think it is Russia, obviously, it is Comey, but it's so much more. It was the lack of a message from the very start.
Right.
Her aides complained, these are people inside, that they didn't really feel like she had a reason to run, that she became the inevitable candidate again, and that was problematic to her.
Well, Amy Parnes, thank you so much for your time. A fantastic book. I'm really looking forward to reading it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Amy Parnes, one of the co-authors of Shattered: Inside Hillary Clinton's Doomed Campaign.